Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, in my notes, I'm on page 2 of the Doctrine of Testing, Roman numeral 3, and we'll pick up there. But first, Bible doctrine, when communicated by a communicator, needs to be communicated with authority. This was the thing that caught the attention of the people with regard to Jesus' teaching. They commented among themselves that he teaches as one who has authority, not as the scribes and the rabbis do. So Bible doctrine needs to be communicated firmly and clearly with the principle of authority. And God has given me that authority with my spiritual gift and my attachment to Maranatha Church. So truth is communicated with authority. Sometimes authority offends people, but authority is a key to the Christian way of life, those that wield it and those who live under it. We are all under the authority of God. There is a royal chain of command. There's even a chain of command within the Godhead. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, in the early church, apostles, that layer has been taken out, and now it falls to the individual, independent, legitimate pastor teacher. So, with that, in regards to that, I choose what I'm going to communicate at any given time, and it is your responsibility to listen under authority, in fellowship, and wherever you are, whenever you listen to this, do it in fellowship. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the grace and the truth that we who are positive have to be able to live and function and glorify you in this situation that has captivated the cosmos. We pray that you'll be with us in this study and encourage us with regard to the subject of testing. In Jesus' name, amen. The reasons for testing in time, phase 2. To reveal what is in the heart. A little bit of this might be a little bit of review here, but anyway. I'll just pick a scripture. Deuteronomy 8:2. You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness to humble you, test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. To teach believers to trust God. We noted that one. A test focuses your attention on God. What is he doing in my life with this test? And you are to focus on him via prayer and faith rest. And trust in him that he is working something positive for you. It's not just a dead end. To accelerate the endurance factor. We are in a spiritual race with a finish line for every one of us. And testing helps build the endurance factor. And if we do what we're supposed to do under testing, maintain ourselves spiritually, we will not soul faint along the way. And that was James 1, 2, and 4. The Christians, Jewish happened to be, to whom this letter was written by James, were under a chronic test. A chronic test. The background to the book of James is Jewish believers living in Israel under the gun by their negative counterparts, living in the land and the state of Israel at the time, and they were persecuted. But another aspect of their sufferings was economic duress. And that's brought out, and he says to these believers to consider it all joy. As I've said, testing isn't just a dead end, another bad thing, oh, we got over that, let's go down the road. Testing has a basis for at least a certain level of celebration, if you're thinking doctrine. My brethren, when you endure various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith, the doctrine and the soul, that's the testing of your faith, where our faith in the active sense is doctrine, is being tested. What are you going to resort to under testing? Are you going to resort to the promises of God, His divine essence? Remember, go over the divine essence of God. He knows all about this. And all the other attributes that He has. He will not put on me more than I can handle. So the divine attributes are important to refer to when you are under testing. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. We're in not a sprint, as I said, but a cross-country race. And we need endurance. So when we go through one phase of testing as a believer, when we go through one phase of testing, we move up. And again, God isn't just going to keep piling it on, but He's going to bring us through it. And there are ways to deal with it, as I've said over and over again. Get your head on straight, meaning get in fellowship. And for a moment, quit being worked up about whatever it is germane to you under this general test we're all under. And all of us will have a variety of different things. Some may even have it easy. Some may not. But we're all under the test. And we have to get in fellowship, offer up prayer, establish inner peace in the soul, and do what's in front of us. And do what the Bible says. Live one day at a time. Tomorrow will take care of itself. You got this far as a believer, if you have a record. You got this far, and look back at some of the things you went through, maybe even in recent time. And here you are. And each test that you pass, each phase that you go through, you develop more inner strength. It's supernatural, this inner strength. This isn't the flesh. It is inner strength that comes from the Holy Spirit and Bible doctrine to enable you to function and act differently like your unbelieving or negative counterpart out there. But believe me, they do not have this information. They aren't leaning on this information. So we here at Maranatha, who are still here, we have paid our dues. And by God's grace, we are ready to deal with whatever we have to deal with in the short time, very short time, left to us. Yes, as a believer, you can stumble under a test. Get out of fellowship, get wrapped around the proverbial axle, but you need to pull yourself back. This doesn't glorify God. He has not abandoned you. He has not forsaken you and left you to yourself. He has given you inner strength, Bible doctrine, and even today, I was comforted greatly by one believer out of this church who called me of their own accord. And I talked to this believer, and it was super refreshing. I wish everybody in my church had the same outlook that this believer did. And I thank Him for it. God, I need encouragement. That's another aspect that will be here. You're looking for it, you'll find it. In the midst of your trial, you'll find comfort and encouragement. God is a spiritual parent who is there with you through your difficulties. All these doctrines you can remember if you will. Jesus Christ controls history and oversees the life of every human being for good or for ill, depending on their attitude. Everything that's happening and has happened and will happen in the nations is under divine control. It may not appear to be when things are crazy, chaotic, and all the rest of it. But He controls and advances history step by step. The nations are but a drop of water in the bucket. God oversees the nations. And all this that's going on in the last of the last days, all the things Jesus said would come to pass, and that He said to His disciples, let your hearts not be troubled when you see, and then there's a laundry list, famines. I'm hearing reports of famines in Africa due to locust plagues, Ebola. There are Christians over there. I know a small group of them. In Lomé, Togo, West Africa. They have their own set of issues they have to deal with. I know believers in India. They're under lockdown. I got an email. One of my church members introduced him to our back in the day, tapes. Before cassettes and all the rest. I mean, before CDs. He introduced him out on an oil rig. And Vincent Thomas, that's his name, who was introduced to him, a fellow from India. The minute he heard it, he was already a Christian. But he'd been raised up in the Reformed tradition. He said to this person from Maranatha, that man speaks the truth. Truth has a ring to it. And that, I think, any of us who are positive to doctrine, who came out of whatever denomination or spiritual background, at some point, it had a ring to it. It made sense. It was consistent. Yes, we all have questions. But back to what I was saying. Jesus gives this list of things. Wars and rumors of wars. We've had... Let's just go back to the founding of the UN. Of course, there's World War I and II. And then we have all these wars going on. All these conflicts. And we have rumors of wars. And we have just been bombarded in America. Go to war with Venezuela. Go to war with Iran. Go to war with North Korea. Blah, blah, blah. And we've been sticking our big nose all over in regime change, and God sees that. That's another topic I could deal with. Other things He said would proliferate. Right out of the woodwork. Come all these false teachers, false Christs, false prophets. They're all over the web. They're everywhere. Making these claims. But it was true in the past up apostolic times. There's just more people now and more idiots. And then there's plagues. Here's one for you. And in the course of the church age, they've had different things. The dark ages. Plagues. And of course, seismic activity. You might go do some research and look at the frequency of big earthquakes through time, through recorded time, since they start keeping records of them. Well, there's been some doozies in the past. The Madrid fault line in the United States, back when we were sparsely populated, whole villages disappeared and the Mississippi ran backwards. Volcanism. All of it. But Jesus said, this isn't the end yet. And then human history, humanity, is going to stumble into the trib, the day of the Lord. And in the book of Daniel, there's never been a time in the past, nor will be the time after it, that will compare to it in intensity. And if God would not shorten those days, all humanity would perish. The attrition rate will be unbelievable under the seven seal judgments. But God will provide in any of these situations for those who look to Him, embrace Jesus Christ as Savior, and get some iron in their soul, some Bible doctrine, and decide that they're going to glorify God if everything they have is wiped out, and if they are called upon to lay down their lives, which millions will, according to Revelation 7. This is what humanity is on the cusp of. And the Bible says that the human race at large is asleep in the dark. They may think something's in the air. Something is. The return of the Lord Jesus Christ to get us out of here, the church, whether we're alive or dead. And imagine the shock that's going to be. But those who are left behind, unbelievers, they will be given a universal gospel hearing. There will be three major announcements at the onset of the tribulation. One of them, the gospel. Two, get out of the United States and go back to the nation your ancestors immigrated from. Or find a place. Doctrine of U.S. and prophecy. Because a nuclear holocaust is coming from Yahweh, the Lord. And three, do not, under any circumstances, take the mark of the beast, or you're doomed. Maybe I have a chance later on to explain what that might be about. It's not some tattoo. It's high-tech stuff. So here we are. We'll carry on. I made my decision as a leader of this church. It's all in my lap to cease having regular assembly because of this virus and because the authorities ask us to. I feel comfortable with that now. No, I don't quote unquote like it. I don't have to like it. I just have to step up and do what's right, and that gives me a certain amount of peace. I wished everybody was on board with it. I am not going to have this a hot spot for people getting sick and get in the news under those conditions. I'm going to do it. You can say I'm under fear. I don't care. I really don't care. This is what we're doing. And, like this person said to me today in this encouraging thing, God is not tied down by this. His word will still get out. And for us, it'll get out in a way that it never got out before. Through the YouTube deal. Pray about that for me. With me. Pray about that. That there's any positive volition around, they'll stumble onto that. We try to keep the classes down to 30 minutes. I may go over because I get carried away sometimes. I may go over, but we try to keep it to 30 minutes because that's just about the attention span of a lot of people. There's a lot of information junkies out there that are running through this stuff like crazy. But if there's positive people around and they've decided they want answers, God will see to it that they stumble on this or someone else's teaching the same thing. So in this race, you have need of endurance. Imagine a runner who maybe at some point in his race it feels like he's in trouble, and then he gets his second wind. A lot of it's psychological. And so we just hang in there in this particular test that we're under. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, but let endurance have its perfect result, the end game for the individual believer, which is to finish your course with honor, so that when the award ceremony comes, you can be in that elite group that are crown worthy. Oh, you're gonna like that. It's like that guy. There used to be this head of a men's warehouse. You're gonna like the way you look. Well, that was his line. That was his catch line. And you're gonna like the way you look. If you leave the Bema seat with the prize, as Paul calls it, as another synonym. This isn't some cheesy thing either. Do not, in the last days, abandon the truth. What is there out there that, well, I know how people, the STA and how people are. But even if you achieve what your sin nature wants, money, this or that, your glory will be your shame. Another saying of Jesus to keep in mind. He who is first shall be last, and he who is last shall be first. What's that mean? That means the person that puts themselves and their own fleshly interests ahead of the plan of God will be least in the kingdom of God. And the one who forsakes, laundry list, for MPR, that means most pressing responsibility, building your life around a viable local church and living in that community and sticking with your right pastor and not bouncing all over. MPR also means there are certain jobs that would be completely incompatible with that. Not that the jobs are illegal, it's just they're incompatible. An airline pilot. All over the place, bounced all over. How are they going to get face to face? Oh, well, they can get it online. Yes, but no. That's a backup. And we're glad we've had it. For those who may be sick or whatever. So for those who can and are able, you need to find yourself in a local church. Well, that would require what? You make some kind of a sacrifice? God forbid. Abraham made a sacrifice. He is the pattern for believers. You can read it in Romans. Because he made all three adjustments to God, he left a really cushy, metropolitan, well-to-do environment in Ur. Now it's a ruins. To go to a land that he didn't even know where it was at. So he would be in the operational, geographical will of God. And all the other things he did. And God has made his name great. And in the kingdom of Christ on earth, many will come from the east and the west and sit down and have a meal and have fellowship with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the pioneers of this. He made all three adjustments to God. He earned the title friend of God. And along the way, because he was pursuing God's plan, God also made him temporal, gave him temporal wealth. But all his life, the will of God was to live in a tent, a resident alien in the land. His life would move along all these years, and then he would have an event where he would do something. In the case of the rescue of his nephew, the believer Lot, he risked everything to deliver this knucklehead from the kings of the east with his 318 men in a noisy night raid, and they all panicked and ran. Later on, he would intercede for Lot when he was informed on that visit I told you in the previous class by the two angels and the Lord that he got a heads up that God was going to take Sodom and Gomorrah out in 1 hour or 1 day. And he interceded for him. So the most you could do for a guy like Lot, whose God was money, he was a believer, but his God was money. And God let him get it, took it away from him, gave it back to him again. And he winds up, the last we read about him, drunk in a cave, having sex with his daughters. And that's where we get Moab and Ammon. And the most famous Moabite of all time is Ruth. She stepped out of that. Made a name for herself. See, those are the stories. Go to Sunday school, learn these little stories. They don't mean anything to anybody. This has to become practical to the individual who is willing to pull up stakes and go where the truth is. We know how many people, and we've read about people who have pulled up stakes so they could go off out west and find gold. Some of them did, but most of them didn't. Jesus said, I will give you pure gold. The purchasing power of Bible doctrine is unbelievable. And what you can acquire from it, if you'll take it seriously. Now don't treat God as some kind of a sugar daddy. You're just going to get things out of him. The wealth and health gospel of the holy rollers. All that fakery. To refine the believer. From Job 23:10. But he knows the way I take. He has tested me. Job knew he was being tested. And he knew the source of it was God. He didn't know all the background information. He didn't know there was some contest between Satan and God in heaven. And Job was the guy down here, unbeknownst. And one day this all starts dropping on him. I shall come forth as gold. Psalm 66:10, for you have tried us, O God. You have refined us as silver is refined. Getting the dross out. Getting the human viewpoint out. And Zechariah 13:9, and I will bring the third part through the fire. Refine them as silver. And test them as gold is refined. And they will call on my name, and I will answer them. And I will say to them, you are my people. And they will say, the Lord my God. That's Second Advent stuff. So Jews are really going to be refined in the trib. But they're going to shine. That's what we're supposed to do. As believers. How long have I gone? I'm okay. I have to check on my time thing. I lost track. Sorry. 1 Peter 1:7. So that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. There you are. Revelation of Jesus Christ. And you go through these tests, and he's telling these Christians, you go through this, and if you come out at the end, individually to the end, you will receive praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ when we meet him in the air. Surpassing grace blessing. Blessed is a man who perseveres under testing. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which has been promised to those who love him. So you've got to go through something under doctrine in order to merit the crown here, which he calls here the crown of life. He's got several names for it in the Bible: crown of life, crown of righteousness, crown of boasting, and so forth. This crown of life is only promised to those who love God. Talk is cheap. I love you. I love God. I love God. It's, for most of these people, it's just emotionalism. If you love God, you will keep his, you will hear His word and keep His commandments. Short of that, it is empty, completely fake. Love without action is nothing. Jesus made it clear. Do you love me, Peter? Three times. Then feed my sheep. That'll be your proof, Peter. You go out there, and the ones I put in front of you, you give them spiritual food. And you do that to the end, and then that demonstrates that you love me. It's impossible to love God and not do these things. All right, we'll take a break.